Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 212. Top of the year to you, Tom.
Welcome back. It feels like we're just still getting back into the groove. I'm sure everyone's in the same boat.
I think so. And particularly this week, I think, at least for a lot of people in Australia, this is when they have gone back to work. They've had their break, their Christmas, New Year, summer break, and now trying to get back into the swing of it. And this week, I think for some people, is going to feel really long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll get through it because you know what? We've done it before.
Yeah. It's just every year.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
Every week.
Pull your socks up. Just, come on, everyone.
Just do it. Just.
My new thing this year is I'm starting every morning with splashing cold water on my face.
Mm.
Like, wake up, walk straight to the bathroom.
And it's been working?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for about 3 seconds, I'm very aggressive. It's a rude awakening.
Yeah. But, yeah.
All right, let's go.
The man in the mirror sees it, that sees the anger, and then it's just sort of back into it. I remember working with a guy who would try not to drink too much coffee, but instead have ice cold water first thing in the morning, because he reckoned that like drinking ice cold water kind of woke him up.
Sure.
I don't think that would be a trick that would work for me, so didn't even
that
try.
That involves going and getting ice cold water, and that's what.
It's too much work.
You've missed your window.
That's
I'm talking within 30 seconds of me being awake, there's cold water in my face.
Wow. You know, you could be even more efficient and just have one of those spray bottles next to your bed so you don't even have to get up and go to the bathroom.
That's too fine a mist.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's a solid.
Yeah, two handfuls.
Full contact sport.
Yeah, I get you. Almost like you are playing Wipeout.
Look, in ye olden days, I would have had a bucket of water next to the bed and just dunked my head in.
Yeah, that's right.
Swirly-whirly style.
Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that in the summertime, so.
No.
Let's just get into it. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The historic sale of the sandal shop in the town centre has shocked the auctioneers and everyone else who bore witness. The little store that has only ever had enough room for two pairs in each size, a cash register and a chair has sold for $1.6 million. We asked who bought it and were told that it was not disclosed, and that seemed rather mysterious. We did find out that they paid in cash, a mixture of $50 and $100 notes. Our investigative journalistic skills were a bit rusty, so I've asked Mingus PI to get on the case and solve it ASAP. He promised to not only get to the bottom of it, but also grow a moustache, wear a Hawaiian shirt, and strut around in short 1980 shorts. He's so professional! It's been a little confusing at all intersections with stop signs of late, because wicked naughty pranksters change them to stop or go, whatever you feel like signs. People from Watchersville are notoriously bad at making their own decisions, and this has led to the worst traffic the world has ever seen. One congested road has cars on it that haven't moved in over 2 weeks. The drivers have had to get food delivered to their cars in order to live. It's really bad. The council has commenced the reinstallment of the stop signs and everything should go back to normal in the next month or so. A big congratulations to Deirdre Turner, who has won the most original scented candle scent at the Burn and Sniff Awards. Anyone who has had the honour of inhaling her pickled cabbage and shower drain candles will know that there really isn't anything in the world quite like them. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. I've watched a few things. I'm not going to get to all of them this week, but I've got a couple of things of note that I want to let you know about. I've got a great quiz. It's a kind of a memory quiz, but also there's no expectation to remember. You can just guess.
Okay, good, because we should go easy on each other today, because I haven't watched tons. I've watched bits and pieces, but
yeah.
There was stuff, you know, I was going to finish watching season one of Chucky, didn't, was going to watch La Brea, didn't, all this stuff.
Mm.
I've watched a lot of cooking shows, which has been beneficial in the kitchen.
Yeah, I like a good cooking show.
Yeah.
I found that I didn't watch as many. Like, now that you're talking about it, I don't think I caught up on series that I had told myself I would. I don't think I did that. I think instead, well, I know instead I watched a fair few cooking shows, some of those, you know, those English shows where they're like, oh, let's go over to somewhere in Europe and buy a chateau and do it up, even though we've never done anything like this before, and then try and run an Airbnb.
Wow, that's a big decision.
That's a big decision. A lot of people do it, apparently. So I've been watching those kind of things and a few movies as well, whether they be old or new. It didn't matter. We're doing a lot of jigsaw puzzling.
Putting those bits together.
So you need those kind of things that you don't really need to watch. Mm-hmm. Like it's a background.
Just background.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like I would imagine what you would need for Lego.
Yeah, I've put on a lot of zoo documentaries and animal documentaries and stuff.
Yeah, fun.
Or porn stars. That's PAW.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they still making that or are you just rerunning?
No, okay. They're still making it. They're real classy these days. He owned an art gallery in the middle of Vegas as well.
Oh,
so he's dealing with a lot more fancy, high-end stuff.
Very la-di-da. Speaking of la-di-da, let's get into the news.
Let's do it.
Well, I've got quite a few, so maybe I'll jump in and, oh, I can segue from to la-di-da because I saw a bit of casting news for the upcoming season of The Crown on Netflix.
Right.
Humayun Sayid is apparently going to play the role of Dr. Ahmed Khan, who was the British-Pakistani heart and lung surgeon who had bit of a romantic relationship with Diana in the mid-90s, just after she was divorced from what's-his-face, old Charles. So apparently this actor who will be playing the heart surgeon is pretty well known in Pakistan, and that's where the news leaked. Because like, what? Wait, what's he doing? Wow. And that's how it got out there.
Sure.
But, I mean, as someone who doesn't follow Pakistani film or television, I think the angle that most intrigues me is that they're really going to be looking into what Diana was doing in this season.
Naughty
things. Well, I guess she was allowed to because she wasn't with Charles anymore, but it sounds a little salacious.
Oh, okay.
So
good stuff, something to look forward to.
For Crown fans, that's I assume going to be later this year. They usually come out once a year, don't they?
I don't see, it seems to be around a lot. It's one thing that has never grabbed my attention.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't follow the royals in real life.
So,
but I know a lot of people that do quite love it, including my mum.
Oh yeah, well, let her know. Let her know. You can give her the heads up.
Oi, Nana. Yeah.
Yes, we really quacked at the principal. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
So, Turning Red is the next film coming out from Pixar, about a young girl who turns into an oversized red panda.
Didn't expect that. I was thinking it was going to be Turning Red, like somebody has problems with their emotions and they get really angry. That kind
well,
of
they've already done Inside Out,
yeah,
so
true.
They don't need to do that again.
Good point.
No, look, it's being shifted now. It's going to be premiering exclusively on Disney Plus.
Okay.
So this makes the third Pixar film in a row after Soul and then Luca that have gone straight to Disney Plus, which is a very cool, but at the same time, a bummer. And apparently plenty of people at Pixar are not happy about that string of circumstances that they seem to have been diminished. The Toy Story, well, sorry, the Buzz Lightyear prequel or whatever that film is with Chris Evans. You might remember that one as
vaguely, yeah.
It's about the guy that the Buzz Lightyear toy is based on.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's still planned to be coming out at cinemas.
Okay.
So it's not completely Pixar's being shifted to Disney Plus, but you know, Toy Story is a safer bet.
Mm.
So we say than these other ones.
It's not a new IP.
No. And family films have not been performing at the box office since the pandemic started,
yeah.
And it's a good, safe thing. And there's all these good reasons around it and this sort of stuff. Anyway, there's definitely like, it sucks, but films are starting to shift again and move. And this year, there's a lot of big, good stuff coming. But Morbius, which was due to come out in a week or two.
Is that the one with Jared Leto?
Yes, that has been shifted back to April, which now makes it the most shifted release date film ever.
Guinness World Record.
It has now taken that title from the New Mutants,
mm-hmm.
which got lost in the Fox to Disney sale.
Yeah, that's right. That took ages to come out. Mm.
Yes. So Morbius was supposed to come out before the pandemic and was pushed back for a little bit of reshoots. And just continues to get pushed. So, look, there's rumors that part of it's being pushed because of Omicron.
Mm-hmm.
There's also rumors that they may be reshooting or including some extra scenes because of the success of Spider-Man No Way Out.
Okay,
part of all of that sort of deal. Anyway, stay tuned, I imagine, for the next few weeks. I'm going to be talking plenty about movies shifting.
Now, last time I spoke to you about Spider-Man, you had only seen it once. Did you ever end up going back to the movies to see it again, or was it just a...
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as I wanted to. I mean, I haven't seen Matrix 4 yet.
Yeah. You know, same.
I haven't been back to the cinemas yet.
Yeah.
I haven't had my booster, and we've got Bubba with complications, so it's not...
Yeah. Gotta
not something
wait.
I feel particularly safe about just yet. I'm still doing plenty of other things. We're going to the zoo. We're doing all the outdoor activities and that sort of stuff.
Fun.
But, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I can watch movies at home.
Yeah, exactly. For now.
Showing Shibby and Somebody Stop Me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
There was news that Take-Two, who owns Rockstar Games, they're the people that make GTA and Red Dead and all of those other massive, massive games, they've bought the mobile phone company, games company, I should say. You've probably seen it somewhere before called Zynga. And if you haven't heard of that name, you've probably played one or two of their mobile games over the course of the years. It has been bought by Take-Two for $13 billion Australian dollars.
What sort of games have they made?
A lot of those Farmville kind of games. Did you ever play Word with Friends back in the day as well? Those were, you know, that kind of Scrabble game. Yeah, and a whole heap more.
That's where I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So they're now owned by Take-Two, and some people within the industry reckon it's because Take-Two want to figure out or want to use their infrastructure to get games like Grand Theft Auto, BioShock,
definitely
Red Dead onto the mobile platforms. I just don't know how I feel about open world games on your phone. It just
But what if it's GTA but Pokemon Go style? I think that's they'd be looking at AR and real world interactivity, because GTA 5, was it?
Yeah,
the most recent one came out, 2012?
And people
are still
ago.
Smashing that.
Yeah.
They're constantly adding new DLC and updates and all sorts of things to it, stuff like that. So if they can find a way to keep people playing that when they're on their phone, that's making them
absolutely
even more plugged in.
Yeah, and I feel like this would be where the game suddenly turns free-to-play.
Mm-hmm.
But there are all those in-game purchases that you make.
Mm. I mean, if you can keep that gaming experience going when someone logs off their console, there's a pretty good chance that they won't just start playing Fortnite on their iPad. Or, do you know what I mean? You can keep them locked in your digital realm.
You watch as Fortnite and Epic Games try desperately to get back onto the Apple App Store now.
Yeah.
What? There's a new player in town. What? What else have you got?
Look, so you mentioned Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And this happens every couple of years. It happened with Black Panther, but there's some legitimate buzz about Oscar potential for this film. And it's you know, there weren't tons of great movies last year that were embraced by the wider audience. There was some cool,
yeah,
there was some cool indie stuff and things like that, but there were no breakout hits apart from Spider-Man.
Mm.
And it's hard to talk about still, but I'm trying to respect that spoiler window because it's not the usual thing. But
yeah,
this film achieves an awful lot. And not just within the confines of its own film and the MCU, but all sort like paying off villains' arcs from previous films, all sorts of things like this. It does a great job of doing all of that and showing what can be done with cinema when, you know, Martin Scorsese and people like that say that Marvel movies are that they're just like a roller coaster.
Mm.
Well,
yes,
this is a pretty bloody well-made roller coaster and showed off the potential of what can be done with that when you lean into that.
Yeah, right.
You know, some of it is like, oh, maybe Tom Holland will get nominated for an Oscar. Nah, that's not. Like,
that's not where it lies. Yeah. I would think automatically you're looking at special effects nominations.
Oh, look, what else? Get that, all the usual, maybe some sound or score or something like that.
Yeah.
But there are talks that it may be in for a shot in the top 10 of, you know, the best picture of the year. We'll go for the big prize. And the last time that was, you know, there's only really been two times where that's been seriously brought up, and that was Black Panther and The Dark Knight. And The Dark Knight is the reason the Oscars went from 5 to 10 in the best picture category. Because it was snubbed that year and people were furious, and that kind of marked the real turning point where the Oscars stopped being actually connected to what the public liked.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That, yeah, they were leaning more towards those art house, the super dramatic, all about performances, where the audience were like, oh, but we still want to be entertained. And that's where,
yeah,
over here is where the entertaining stuff is.
Back in the day, you know, your Jurassic Parks or things like that, they'd get very celebrated by the Oscars. Mm. Jaws, obviously, things like that. They were big action things that moved an audience. And then, as you say, it became more about wank.
The art.
Yeah.
The art.
I point a finger at Daniel Day-Lewis.
Because of his, what was that movie? His big right foot, or I don't know, something like that.
My left foot.
And he was the last of...
Raised Dancing with Wolves. Is that it?
The last of the Mohicans?
That's the one. Yeah. Dancing with Wolves is Kevin Costner.
Yes.
I don't go in on those movies myself.
I haven't seen either of them.
I'm not. Yeah.
They're those sort of 80s long epic films that I feel daunted by. But having said that, they're probably not as long as Titanic, and I sat through that. But I don't have to. Like, I don't have to.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
It's not the rules. Hey, you must be pretty pumped that The Boys are getting a season 3 and it is premiering with, you know how Disney does, usually releases 2 episodes of a show first off, particularly their Star Wars stuff. Here's 2 episodes. Now, Amazon has gone, I see your 2 episodes. I'm going to raise you 3 episodes for the first week.
I'm pretty sure they did that with season 1 as well. Season 1 had the first 3 episodes dropped together. Perfect. And then season 2, I think, was just the first 2.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense. 3rd of June is when it's going to come out this year. And then the remaining 5 episodes will premiere each, I think it's every Friday.
Yep.
Yeah, every Friday until, you know, they run out of them.
I am very much looking forward to this. The director, showrunner, everyone is basically saying that the first episode involves some of the most fucked up things that any of them have ever worked on.
And they've done quite a lot of that stuff, so that'll be interesting.
Well, there's rumours going that this season we may see Herogasm, which is a weekly superhero-only resort.
Oh, you've talked to me about this before, where heroes go and it's like a hedonistic kind of island.
Yeah, you can let your hair down without the public or the media around.
Yeah, right.
So things get pretty wild.
Well, yeah. That would be a wonderful way to really get eyebrows raised for the beginning of the season.
Oh, there's some full-on kit. Like,
are you like curious as to how they're actually going to show it?
Yeah. Yeah, I really am. Let's just say that there's a very large orgy that takes place.
Right.
And the invisible woman proves quite popular. And that could make for quite a visual.
Wait, how did the actual comic handle the visual? Okay.
It just kind of looks like a lot of wangs stabbing at each other.
Oh,
it's very strange.
Too funny. All right. Well,
it's very strange.
It'll be interesting how they go with the angles with that one.
Yep. Yep. I had some news that bummed me out.
Oh.
So for us it was New Year's Day, but mm-hmm. at like 20 minutes before New Year's Day started in the States, in New York, Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers announced that he was leaving the group effective immediately.
Oh, geez.
He said in his statement that he and his wife have separated, and so he needs to focus on co-parenting his children. So that's all very sad.
Yeah.
But then the other guys put out, well, one of them put out a statement and the others just shared that one. And it seemed very carefully worded. And since then, a couple of episodes of Impractical Jokers have disappeared from True TV and HBO Max and stuff like that, only specific ones. And there were ones where Joe was maybe being a touch inappropriate.
So, okay.
His face is not on the website anymore. All this stuff is gone. They're under contract to do one more season. So mm-hmm. the other three guys said they're going to continue.
Has any of that season been filmed yet? Do you know? Like, well, will they have to go back and redo it?
Well, the last season ended abruptly on 8 episodes in. Every season has had like 13, 26, whatever it mm-hmm. is. But this most recent one did 7 or 8 episodes, and then it just disappeared in August, and the guys went quiet. They cancelled their tour. They said it was because of COVID.
Hmm.
The other part that's weird is Joe says he's gone to do this stuff, to focus on his family, but he's got a tour happening, a solo tour very soon.
What would he do in the solo tour? Practical stand joke up. Himself? Okay.
Just like more stand-up. So I don't know. I don't want to speculate. There's already a lot of people speculating online of like, oh, man, is Joe about to get cancelled?
Yeah, right.
He was kind of the face of Impractical Jokers. Mm. He very much steered things behind the scenes.
Mm.
And it's a weird thing. And, like, you know, a lot of people were crushed about Betty White. I too, that was sad.
Yeah.
But I got floored by that news because, you know, Impractical Jokers –
that's
been
a big
part of my life for quite a few years now. I love that show. I watch it all the time.
Are you worried that the next season that they're all contracted to do will not only be the last one, but will also, like, the dynamics will have changed so much if he was such a massive part of it?
I think the dynamics will have changed, but it's my hope that maybe they bring in a whole bunch of friends and celebs to be a fourth player for the last season. The easiest get for them is Joey Fatone.
Mm-hmm.
He has played plenty of games with them before. He hosts their after show. That's, you know, if you're going to sub someone in, a former NSYNC member, it's a pretty good get. Likewise, Matthew Lewis, who played Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films.
Yeah, right.
He's jumped in and done some of them. So there's all sorts of people. Jeff Daniels came and played games.
Fun.
All sorts of things.
Yeah, that's fun.
So they I could see it going a few different ways. It will be awkward, and I hope they lean into that awkwardness. But yeah, I was bummed.
Yeah, I don't even know how I missed that news. And it didn't even...
Well, as I say, he announced it 20 minutes before midnight going into New Year's Day.
Yeah.
So that news got steamrolled by everything else going on in the world. So it was a very clever time to do it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Look, can I try and cheer you up?
I'd love it if you do.
Okay, were you ever a fan of Roald Dahl books when you were a kid?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, there's one that I don't think I've ever heard of before called The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar. It's actually a collection of short stories and supposed to be a little more for slightly more adult than kids, right? Anyway, sure. It's going to be, I don't know which one of these seven short stories, but going to be a film for Netflix. And Wes Anderson's actually directing it. He's got, okay, well, see if maybe the cast will... Okay, Benedict Cumberbatch, you like him? Oh, no. Ralph Fiennes, it's funny because his name's Ralph, but you have to say Rafe. You like Dev Patel, don't you?
I do.
Ben Kingsley is an actor as well. He's in it. That's great.
Ben Kingsley is an actor. He
was Gandhi.
He is, don't you? Yeah.
And he was Trevor. In Shang-Chi, yeah?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Trevor.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not getting past the fact that Wes Anderson's involved.
Yeah, I noticed the size seemed to go the whole way through the cast lineup. So
just put it in the bin already.
Okay. Well, if anybody else is interested, they're starting it this month in London.
People production. Love Wes Anderson, and I respect that. And he is a great filmmaker, and I hate his stuff. That's just me.
Yeah.
It's too crafted and meticulous.
It's too what the Oscars were really into for a while.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very good way to put it.
Thank you so much.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
My last story is that show on Netflix, once again, Emily in Paris, is getting a third and fourth season, which...
an extended vacation.
That's right. I think the second season came out late last year and did really good numbers. Like lots of people were watching it. I know that it was in the top 10. I noticed it was in the top 10 on my Netflix, and I assume that it was the same... in most parts of the world, particularly Paris, I'm hoping. I don't know.
Maybe they fucking hate it.
Maybe they do. Maybe
which is this shit, boss?
It's not French enough. Lily Collins, not French enough. Anyway, I reckon, without knowing anything about this show really, right, I haven't gotten into it. I've got nothing against it, just haven't started it. I reckon they've signed up season 3 and 4 and told them, wrap it up. It's quite popular, but Netflix is not famous for doing more than 4 seasons. So I reckon this is, you've got your 2 seasons, do the arc, do the story, we'll catch you later.
Sure.
What more can you ask from Netflix? You can't. That's how they roll. What trailer have you watched?
Look, it's just a very brief one, but, I'm very excited for Peacemaker. That kicks off in just a few days now on HBO Max.
Gee, that's soon.
It is very soon. But all I'll say from the trailer, and they earlier trailers had shown that there was an eagle at some point. Anyway, it turns out that that's Peacemaker's sidekick, Eagly.
Eagly the Eagle. Love it.
Yep.
Eagly the Eagle.
An eagle that acts like a dog.
Now I'm just trying to look up the photographs of Peacemaker from the last film.
From Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And he had a silly hat, right?
Yes.
Well,
he says it's a shining beacon of and sentinel of hope or some crap.
So I'm assuming
it's like a chrome toilet.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. I'm assuming that that's also going to be featuring prominently in the series as well. Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
How many episodes do you know? I mean, HBO usually do about 8 to 10, don't they? I can't imagine it'd be any more.
It's 8 or 9, and okay. It drops the first 3 episodes, I think, and then weekly after that. I'm very excited because Vigilante is going to be a character on there, and from what I understand, it's a very different iteration from what was on Arrow. And the description is basically, imagine Deadpool, but way dumber.
I can see it. What do you reckon, if you've never seen Suicide Squad, would you be missing out on stuff? Do you reckon this is the time for people to catch up, watch the film?
Yeah, I would say so. It's good fun. If you haven't seen it, then it sets up where his character goes for the show.
Yeah.
Which I imagine the show in the first 2 minutes will address what happened in the film to give everything context to move forward.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't you watch bloody Suicide Squad?
Just do it. My goodness. Why are you wasting your time not watching it?
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, love it. What's this fun fact for the first fun fact of 2022?
So the first fun fact of the year, it's for the Little Mermaid. Because we've been watching some Disney stuff around the house. Why not? So Prince Eric is the fella that Ariel gets on land for.
I
can't remember who actually played him, but Jim Carrey auditioned for the role.
That would have been a very different movie.
It would have been. It was very, very, pretty early in his time. He was still on In Living Colour, I want to say.
Yeah, probably. There's definitely no Mask or Ace Ventura by then.
No, it was pre that. Scheduling conflicts with Star Trek The Next Generation forced Patrick Stewart to turn down the role of King Triton.
Huh. He would have been good. That voice, that voice would have been absolutely appropriate. Wow.
Yeah. And then in the opening scene, when King Triton arrives at the arena and there's a big crowd scene, Mickey, Goofy, Donald Duck and Kermit the Frog can be briefly seen in the crowd of sea people as mermen when he passes over them.
That's Kermit the Frog, merman. Okay.
That's in there.
Look, if there's for no other reason, now I'm going to have to rewatch the movie.
Go back and see what you can find.
Did you manage to spot them?
I've spotted some of them.
Okay.
I think I know where Kermit is.
Okay, all right.
But I haven't gone through and freeze framed it.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good fact.
There you go.
I reckon this time of year Disney gets a lot of screaming hours. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A lot of people getting through those. I've got a really fun little quiz for you later. It's very either easy or guessy.
All right.
You could do either. Yeah.
I would prefer guessy than gassy.
Yes, I think most people would. Yeah, I agree.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So you weren't watching a lot of stuff over the break, but what did you watch?
So I say I didn't watch a lot of stuff, and then I look at my thing, and I've got like 12 things.
Of course.
So I've undersold. I'm going to start and smash out a whole bunch of different cooking shows that I checked, because there was a bunch of new ones that kicked off, whatever. Man vs. Food came back for another season. That's great. He eats a lot.
Who's the host in that now?
It's not Casey someone.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't that Adam bloke.
So Adam now hosts like Modern Marvels and a bunch of different engineering and construction based shows. So what do? We did Man vs. Food, Hot Ones, which is a YouTube series that's also had a TV show, and there's been a game show, but that's where the one dude interviews celebrities while they eat hot wings, progressively hotter hot
Such
wings.
It's a great idea, premise, isn't it?
It's so much fun. And the reason why I made the note is Gordon Ramsay came back to do a Christmas special, and it was his first time since being on the show 3 years ago, which has been watched something like 100 million times. It's crazy numbers. Anyway, it was very satisfying to see him back in the chair and sweating, because for a guy that's real good with food, he is not good with spice yet.
Didn't he complain about the fact that, you know, he can't taste the chicken or something? Like, he was really angry. Yeah. About, I mean, you know, that's his character. He's been really angry.
In this, he's like already by wing six or something like that.
Mm.
He's like, do you realize that after I come and do this show, I can't do my job for 3 to 4 days because my mouth has been nuked.
Wow.
And I lose any sense of palate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway,
I never would have thought about that.
It's a long-term investment from him to go on that. He loses work. There was Next Level Chef, which is great, and I've seen the first two episodes of that. That's Gordon Ramsay's new
with the different
show.
Levels. I wanted to see that, so it's good.
It's really good. Oh, it's cool. Really good. So it's three stories. There's a great kitchen, a commercial grade kitchen, and a basement full of shit. And you randomly get put in the different ones, and then they've got to impress the judges.
Yeah,
there's three judges. They take teams of five, and they're mentoring them and this sort of stuff. And it's pretty good. I like the gimmick.
Yeah, me too. When I remember reading, I think I actually watched the trailer as well, and I went, "Oh yeah, I'll be watching that." So where have you just been watching that on iTunes?
Yeah, just been getting that through iTunes.
All right,
and. I'm not. I think it might be NBC or it's mm-hmm. you know, it's got a lot of money behind it.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a real cool bit where so you get randomly put on the different floors,
mm.
and then there's a platform in the center of the kitchen that starts at the roof and lowers and stops at the top level for 30 seconds, and that's the time you get to get all the food for your meal. So you've got to race over there and grab. And then it goes to the middle level for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the basement with what's left. So you really don't want to be on that lowest floor.
Yeah,
but
right.
if you can cook something amazing on that lowest floor,
yeah.
you automatically will jump up to the top level the next week. All this sort of stuff.
That makes sense.
So much gameplay. Chess. Oh, so that's great. Then there's Alex vs. America. And I've forgotten her name completely, but Alex Giardicelli or something like this. She's the most awarded TV chef in the States. She's won Iron Chef and all this sort of stuff. So she's a competitor.
She knows her stuff.
She knows her stuff. And this show, Alex vs. America, has three chefs who are already like multiple Michelin star awarded, recognized at, if not the top, within the top three of their game of different things.
Mm.
And they come on to compete with her on her show. And she
like
can
this.
Lose
like
and
this.
Be booted. She can lose and be booted from her own show.
whoa, okay. So suddenly it becomes a different show.
Yes. So it's like all on the line for her. And I've seen her compete on so many different shows, and she's the same every time. When she's around the other people, she's like hawk staring at them and this sort of stuff. And then when she's back talking to the camera, she's a nervous wreck. And she's like, I can hold it together and I'm a competitor and stuff, but I feel like my stuff's terrible and their stuff looks so good. And then every time she wins, she looks mega surprised and shocked, like she didn't think it would happen and stuff. So it is satisfying to see her do this. But like the first episode ended and the credits started rolling and the lights went down, and you hear her under her breath go, oh my God, this show is so hard.
You mean your show? Oh my God, that sounds great. All right, that's another one I want to watch.
I've been enjoying that. And then the last one, which is cooking adjacent show, but Guy Fieri has a new show called Guy's Chance of a Lifetime. Now, he owns a chicken chain called Chicken Guy.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
Very big and successful and sort of stuff. And he is looking at opening a new franchise. And so this show is kind of like The Apprentice, but it's, I think it's seven different small operators who are looking to become franchisees. And he's doing like a reality show around who's got the goods for it and stuff like that.
Mm.
It's really quite good because it's most of the cooking shows and stuff with Guy, you see the big personality chef.
Sure.
Whereas he's clearly a very good businessman
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
And this
He'd
show is focused on that side. And
that's
so
cool.
It's not it's kind of, you see that harsher business side come through.
Yeah, just.
And harsh is, harsh is not the right word, but like he's way more direct and you can see why he's good at the business he is.
Yeah, he's weighing it up. Yeah.
He plays on camera, but like everything is down pat behind the scenes to make it run smooth. And so all the, in this first episode, all the contestants have to spend some time behind the counter at the chicken restaurant cooking. And you very quickly emerges who's good at taking orders. There's one guy who's a former army cook. Mm-hmm. So he's clearly very good at giving orders and like directing. Tall African-American guy, booming voice. He's just shouting out, "Let us up."
He's just making sure that everything is running.
He's running precision. Like Mando.
Yeah.
Where there's, you know, the woman that runs a small pastry business from home.
Yeah, right.
She's got a notepad out and she's writing down and asking 40 million questions and infuriating everybody else. Just, I want to make sure I have the recipes right. It's pretty cool mix of this business, the cooking, the all sorts of different stuff. I think there's going to be 6 episodes of that. Not a long thing, but really enjoyed that.
That sounds cool. Oh, you have been watching a lot of good stuff.
It is good stuff, but it's not of any merit or weight. Or, you know, it's not like I watched season 2 of a critically acclaimed show that's finally come back and people are stoked.
Yeah, right.
Did you watch season 2 of a critically acclaimed show that finally came back and people were stoked?
No. Wait, which show?
Witcher. No, I was trying to segue into The Witcher for you.
Well, then my answer is yes, I am a few episodes in, maybe about 5, I think.
Are you taking your time this time?
Yeah, that's right. You've got to with this. This season is a lot less confusing than the first. I don't know if you remember hearing about the fact that the first actually was going on 3 different timelines, and they all sort of tied up towards the end of the season, but people were like, "What am I watching? I like it, but I have no idea what the hell is going on." It is not like that at all with this season, but they do refer to it, not even in the first episode. I think it's like episode 3 or 4 or something like that, and they just mention it, and you're like, "Oh, you're making fun of yourself. Very good."
Well played, bravo.
It was with the bard, you know, the toss a coin to your witcher guy.
Yes.
And someone came up to him and was talking about, "Oh, I really like your music. My daughter loves your music. But that big popular song of yours, it with all the different timelines, was so confusing." I was like, "Hey, very good, very good." So watching a bit of that. I finished watching Money Heist.
Sure.
So that show is done for me. I enjoyed it, but I think I enjoyed the first season the most. You know when a show is like, "Oh yeah, that was so good, I'm going to keep watching it." And even though it's good, it never quite gets that magic that it had in the first season. And also the last few episodes, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, have I just become really aware of it, or is the music and the slow motion, emotional faces to camera, just really over?" Just felt like a lot of them in those last couple of episodes.
Maybe they had to pad the time.
Maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, I'm glad that I've finished watching that. You know, sometimes you just need to tick them off your list of things to watch. And then I watched one more thing that everybody seemed to watch, and I thought, I don't think I'm going to like it because people are either loving it or hating it, and I'll either be somewhere in the middle or I won't finish it. And I watched Don't Look Up, that film with Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio, Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill. I really liked it. Yeah, Ariana Grande's in it.
You really liked it?
Yeah. The beginning, like maybe the first third is a bit fine, like it's fine, but then things start to ramp up and it becomes more and more ridiculous. And all I can say is, watch the mid, I think it's the mid-credit scene. It's really worth it. It's the thing that's going to stick with me.
We watched it as well.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
No.
You didn't like it. It seems to be so polarizing.
Yeah, Lynn's fell asleep quite quickly.
Wow.
And Okay, I love The Big Short, which was the first one of that style movie Adam McKay did. I really enjoyed Vice, but this one
didn't work for you.
For me.
Yeah, right.
So I'm glad you really enjoyed it. And like, I'm stoked for people that it does land for and stuff.
Mm.
I think maybe it's just because I've
you've seen a few of the others.
I've been in his formula a little bit. Look, I'd laughed really hard at Timothy Chalamet being excited about fingerling potatoes. That made me really laugh.
That was a good, I quite liked his character. He's not in it a lot, but I liked it.
It's very strange.
I enjoyed Jonah Hill's character. He's exactly what that character should be.
A lot.
Yeah. Did you stay for that end?
The very end? Yeah.
I love that.
I found Mark Rylance, who's the guy that played like the tech guy. Found him really unsettling.
The voice.
Yeah. Everything about him was just unsettling. He was the BFG. Bringing it back to Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah. No, that voice was obviously very intentional, but it was kind of risky intentional because it was a lot.
It was a lot.
And it was continuous.
Was making dalliances with the autism or Asperger community.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just kept thinking that he would drop the voice at some point in time as things got more and more serious, but he didn't. He kept it.
He didn't. Sure. But look, it was a good way to get across some very important points.
Mm.
Get people thinking about things. I did enjoy that line of the when the parents keep the door locked and say, "We're for the jobs that the comet will create."
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, all right, that's very on the nose. Quite well.
Yeah, that was really good. Was there anything else you watched worth noting?
Yes, I'm going to mention one that a few weeks ago was. So I watched it early when the holidays started.
Mm.
Basically, South Park put out two movies at the end of last year on Paramount Plus, the South Park post-COVID specials, which at the time felt like we were patting ourselves on the back coming out of it, and instead just seems like it's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah.
But it is in the future. And the boys are grown up.
Oh, yeah.
Finally coming out of post-COVID. yeah, I think COVID's been going for 30 years.
Great. That's like really good.
And Stan and Kyle don't talk anymore. They had a horrible falling out over feelings about vaccination.
Of course.
Ago.
Very good.
And Cartman is now a rabbi. Married rabbi with children and a really nice guy.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway,
is that just he's so famous for being Cartman. Were you kind of expecting him to not be the nice guy at some point in time, like for it to twist? And you're like, oh, there's the Cartman I know.
Well, Kyle spends the whole time waiting for the other penny to drop, and convinced that this rabbi stuff is just a way to get back at him.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And what kind of ends up happening is they find, so Kenny became an astrophysicist and like may or may not have worked out a way to do time travel. So it becomes about whether they can steal, Kenny gets killed, it becomes about whether they can steal the machine and travel back to now and change the argument they have and change events. But Cartman doesn't want to lose his family and perfect life that he has, so sets out to sabotage them.
It's a good storyline, actually.
And it makes you really sympathetic for Cartman because Stan and Kyle are the bad guys.
Yeah, right. Because they haven't changed. They haven't grown.
No.
Yeah.
No, and they're horrible people. They've grown into terrible, bitter people.
Mm.
And Cartman turned it all around.
Mm.
And yeah, so it becomes about whether they can change events back then and get Cartman on board. And they were pretty good.
Mm.
Like, it was good to have South Park movies. And yeah, I think they've signed to do like 13 of those films. They were cool. An hour.
Nice. That's a nice amount of time. It feels like it's special.
It's great. It really did. And because they weren't doing the 1 week to be on air thing,
yeah,
it meant that this stuff could be really meticulously story crafted. So there's a whole lot of stuff in there that's great. The future is super PC.
Oh,
and
no.
Jimmy. I don't know if you remember Jimmy, but
yeah.
What a great audience. Jimmy grows up to be a late night talk show host.
Perfect. Hey,
everybody's perfect. The late night with Jimmy because they're all called Jimmy.
Jimmy Kimmel,
Jimmy,
yeah,
you know
of
what
course.
I mean? Everybody, what a great audience. Thanks so much for being here. But he Jimmy. Tells the most PC jokes at all the time. What do you say to an Asian woman driving? Great job. You are just as capable as anybody else. Thank you.
and the audience,
So it's great. If you can put them in your papers, if you've got Paramount Plus, I recommend it. It's going to be one of those ones that ages very quickly, but. Yeah, bring on more.
Well, it's kind of like this will be the last thing I mention is the death to 2021. Like, I really enjoyed the first one.
That was on my list too.
Yeah, nice. And, you know, has to be talked about straight off the bat because otherwise it will get very old. But it kind of did make me intrigued to go back and watch the 2021, the 2020 episode.
If you can go back even further, I would strongly recommend looking into it's Charlie Brooker, the guy behind Black Mirror, who's behind this. He wasn't as involved in this one because apparently he's got a lot of production stuff going on, but he was more involved with Death to 2020.
Yeah, right.
But before that, each year was called Charlie Brooker's Screenwipe. And that was him being super acerbic about everything that went on that year. And they do kind of like the stuff that the relevancy is lost now, but the biting wit is still there. And the best character of all, which I can't remember her name in Death to 2021.
The one that loses a phone for a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's Diane Morgan. She plays Philomena Cunt.
Yeah.
In a lot of Charlie Brooker stuff. Oh my God, she's good.
She's brilliant. As soon as I saw her back on again, because I think they start off with maybe Hugh Grant. I was like, oh, that's right. He plays that. That's really good. And then she's there and you're like, oh, yes. And they did actually, I feel like she was pretty predominantly shown in the 2020 one, but I think she got even more screen time in this one.
She's one of the main writers and she's a big draw over in the UK.
I bet. She's hilarious.
Like, she's so good at deadpan. She's so good. yeah. She has her own spin-off as well. So there's Shakespeare, Kunk on Shakespeare, which is like an hour documentary of her in character investigating Shakespeare.
That's not the one. I think I'm thinking about a different one, but there was another thing, another special where I can't remember the actor's name. He's always on like those QI 8 out of 10 cats or whatever it is show. And it was like a special of Shakespeare lockdown for the plague. Was that her or is that David something Mitchell? Different? Yeah, that's it. David Mitchell. Is that different?
Okay,
it's a different thing?
This is completely different. This is her doing a documentary.
Right.
So
okay.
Charlie Brooker's Screenwipe.
Okay.
Her character was like a segment host. And I would like, today we're going to learn about time.
The best one, right?
And she goes to the Meridian line and points at the line.
Yeah.
And this is where time starts or ends. and all this stuff.
It's worthwhile finding on YouTube. It's really funny.
Her stuff is great.
Yeah.
Her stuff is great. I found Death to 2020 more depressing than Death to 2021, but I think that's because we've all just resigned ourselves to our fate a lot more now. it's good to have some really solid biting wit.
Yeah, and I think if you haven't watched it yet, it's still relevant, but don't leave it a month or so.
Yeah, if you're thinking about watching it, watch it now.
Yeah. Speaking of thinking, I'm thinking about doing a quiz. Would you like to partake?
Beep. Yes, that was excellent. Me pressing That's great. That's the great. Affirmative button.
This one is called 90s TV Show Title Font Color.
Oh, okay. All right.
You didn't expect that. So I'm going to say the name. The name of a show. It's they're not all sitcoms. They're all different, right? And you've got to tell me what color. Yeah, so I'm talking about in the opening theme, right?
All right.
Seinfeld.
Is it yellow or blue?
Okay. Red font with a yellow background. It's got like yellow semicircle.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Oval thing. Yeah, you got it. That's good. That's good. Sure. I was like, he's going to get one of the two colors, 100%, yeah. Which is why I noted them both. All right. Bit of talk about this, as this week they released another trailer for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot. I haven't watched the trailer yet, but apparently that show is shaping up to be a bit more serious than the 90s version. But I want to know what the TV show title font color was for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I want to say like a neon green,
yes!
And a purple background.
Yep. I think there might have been purple squiggles or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, around it. Yeah.
But it's green, yeah?
It's green, yeah. It's pretty fluoro. It goes from like either lighter fluoro to darker fluoro or the reverse, as, you know, down the letters,
yeah.
If you understand what I mean, from top to bottom.
Like half my wardrobe.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone pointed out to me that I wasn't aware of this, but that I still dress like Will Smith.
Is that a bad thing, though?
No, but just I've never grown out of that Fresh Prince style.
Well, it's coming back. It's coming back. Oh, yeah. And you do the high tops sometimes. You got some high tops.
I do high tops, but today I'm wearing some Jurassic Park Nikes.
Oh, they're good. They're a bit fluoro green, too.
Aren't they? It's the colour of the Ford Explorers that everyone travels in the film.
Are they new?
Yes.
Like Christmas present new?
Boxing Day sale.
Even better. Yeah. Even better because you know.
I did get an awesome pair of shoes for Christmas, but they are high tops for going out.
Okay. They're dress high crisp, tops. Ooh, okay.
Crisp ice creams. That's the phrase.
Speaking of ice cream, no, I can't segue.
Can't segue
no,
that.
No. The show Goosebumps, what color was the show title font? Show title font, yeah.
And this is a difficult one because when you think of the book color font changed all the time to match with whatever the cover was. So I'm thinking the show, and I know it's dripping. Was it yellow? No.
It's not yellow.
Like vomity yellow green.
It's a darkish kind of green.
Okay.
So some of these like with the DVD covers had a different color font. So I've had to go and look at the theme, so, you know, like the opening theme,
sure,
to get it. So I'm trying to be, but having said that, there is a chance that different seasons had different colors. I know that was the case with like 90210 and Home Improvement.
I can't picture the TV show.
Yeah, right, okay.
I just picture the book cover so I can see Slappy.
I'm pretty sure it was the exact same font though.
That font is iconic.
Yeah. Speaking of iconic fonts, Neighbours. Mm. So I'm talking about Neighbours in the 90s. I realise that's a whole 10 years of Neighbours intros. So I will accept one of two different colours.
I think it's either yellow or white.
It was yellow and then earlier on it was blue with a white border. So you got it. Yeah, it went on to be, I think, pale yellow and may even be that still. I'm not sure. I only Googled the 90s. What about Keeping Up with Appearances? keeping up with appearances. Hyacinth Bouquet in the intro. Brum, bum. But no, I think I'm singing the wrong song. I think I'm... Was that... It was her, like,
honestly,
spying on people in her garden.
I honestly have no fucking idea. Is it white?
Yes.
Is it white?
It's as...
In impact font?
That's right. It's as boring can be. There's nothing interesting, iconic, or recognisable about it. So that was the correct, I think, answer.
All right. Well, that maybe that's why I can't remember it.
Because it's so unmemorable. Final one, nice and easy, kicking off 2022, The Simpsons. I even looked on
it's
Disney
yellow.
Plus.
It's yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yellow.
It's on white clouds. And my head is like, it's white. No, all the bit underneath.
It's the same color as the family skin, right? Skin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
What a stumper of a quiz. Well done. Good from you.
I don't think you flat out got any wrong. There was some where you got maybe half of it right. So. Sometimes it's important to be as random as possible with these quizzes.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'll be answering what year did something start and finish every single week, and where's the fun in that? There's no fun.
No fun in that.
Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
It's pronounced bouquet.